Hey everybody, welcome to the Soul Food Priest podcast with Father Ben. It's great to have you. One of the cool things, or the coolest things, I think, about being an American is that in every part of the United States, we have just incredible wines and regional cuisines. When I was in cooking school, we took a great class called American Regional, where we kind of talked about some of this. And for instance, in Louisiana, people often ask, what is the difference between Creole cuisine and Cajun cuisine? And truth be told, if you ask every American and every Creole and Cajun, you will probably get different answers. But it is kind of worth exploring that, right? What's the difference between Cajun and Creole cuisine? So in brief, there's a lot we could say, but in brief, the Cajuns in the late 1700s, right at the height of the French Revolution in Europe, they were exiled from Nova Scotia. And so they came, and they were known as the Acadians. They came to Louisiana and made amazing, just amazing use of the local food, the local herbs, the local spices, and the local produce, and as well, of course, the local meats. And so we see a lot of one-pot cookery with Cajun food, whereas with the Creole cuisine, it's a little bit more difficult to define because it's more of a mezcla, as they say in Spanish, a mix of different influences, for instance, the Spanish and Caribbean and African. But in brief, if you were going to say what makes Creole cuisine unique, most people would say tomatoes, right? So in Creole cuisine, we see the use of tomatoes, whereas we generally do not see that, at least historically, with Cajun food. And in Creole cuisine is more refined, they would say, whereas Cajun food is a little bit more of a one-pot cookery. But the cool thing is, right, we all dig it at all. I mean, yum, dude, I don't care if it's Cajun or Creole, man, I just want some, and give me seconds and thirds. And so it's really just, it's great. One of the reasons I love it so much is it's great community food. I mean, think about having a shrimp boil and or like a big pot of gumbo or whatever it is, right? You're usually doing this in community. And it's beautiful. Plus, by the way, the music, the Zydeco music is just fantastic. So I mention this because in some ways, Cajun and Creole cuisine are different, but they are actually very complementary. You know, a lot of those recipes actually overlap. You'll see them in both. By way of an analogy, it is worth pointing out that men and women are both equal but different. That's an important point. From the Catholic perspective, we would say men and women are both equal, but they're different. Whereas from much of the culture's perspective, they would say, no, men and women are, they must be the same in order to be equal, what's called androgyny. So basically what that means is for the push for egalitarianism, that is equality at all costs, we must erase any differences between the sexes. And from our standpoint, that's just crazy because, frankly, men and women are different. I tell people, anybody that's been married more than 20 seconds knows men and women are different, okay? They have thermostat wars. they are just different. They handle stress differently. They solve problems differently. They parent differently. The anatomical design of the male and female body are complementary. And so for much of us, maybe you're thinking, well, dude, that's kind of common sense. Well, it is. It is. And so for much of the culture, as you know, it is simply not. They deny this. And I'm sorry to say one of the places that this reality is denied the most is in many universities. And unfortunately, many universities that market themselves outwardly as being Catholic. In the early 1990s, Pope John Paul II published a document called Ex Corde Ecclesia, Ex Corde Ecclesia, which means from the heart of the church. And basically he said, look, for a university to at least market itself as being Catholic, and we have many of those in this country, they need to be Catholic. I mean, heaven forbid. Is that too much to ask, right? They need to be Catholic. Oh, and by the way, the average cost of many of these Catholic universities is well over $50,000 a year without room and board and without books. Okay, so we're talking well in excess of $200,000 for 1 year, undergraduate. And so all the time as a priest, people will ask me, Father, explain this to me. My child went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, Catholic college, and is no longer Catholic. And explain to me why. And I'm like, look, if you want my opinion, before you send your child to a Catholic university, pull up and do immense research on the professors that teach at those universities, their reading lists, their papers, but very, very few students and very few parents research the background of professors. In other words, who's going to be teaching my child and what are they going to be teaching my child? Most people just don't do that. And so that is my suggestion, because, you know, when you're 19 and sitting in a university classroom, many kids assume that their teacher is the all-knowing, especially if they have letters before and after their name and have tenure. So my point with all of this is just to say, number one, we need to do some research on that. Number two, not all universities that market themselves as being Catholic are in fact Catholic with a capital C. And finally, men and women are both equal and they are complementary as God made them. Listen, you guys rock. Love you.